You know, I expected that the world would hurt Christians. But I never expect that Christians would hurt Christians. And it happens. Sometimes we shoot our own wounded, don't we?
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Today's sermon text is Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for that. You know, we've been studying this series by Bob Tinsky on A Christian Is. And as I said before, I'm taking the material directly out. Well, today I added a little bit and subtracted a little bit and moved some around a little bit. And some is his, some is mine. And hopefully all is the Lord's. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to you today, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that we can serve you, that we can open our hearts to you and praise you and worship you and serve you in spirit and in truth, and that, Lord, may what you see and hear be pleasing to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Bob told this story in the book about a man who wanted to join a particular church. And he said this to the preacher. He said, "I'd like to join your church, but I want to tell you something. I don't want to be called on to do anything. You see, I'm a busy man, and I don't want to do anything. In fact, I'm so busy, I don't even think I'm going to have time to attend your church." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Well, this isn't the church for you. That church is down the road." He says, "I'll give you directions." So he gave the man directions. He went down the road, and he followed all the directions completely. And there he went to a church, and what he found was a church building that was completely abandoned, boarded up, and closed. It was a dead church. You see, a church that has no active members will soon be a dead church. And a religion that costs absolutely nothing in time and in money, that's a dead religion. Jesus had made a statement that whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. You know what's so great about Jesus? Whatever he expects from you and me, he has demonstrated himself. Yeah. In fact, that is my first point, that Jesus was a servant. He was a servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus has said about his life. I've often wondered, what would I say about my life? Why have I come? What is God's will for me? What would I say? Would it be to be a servant? You know, Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says this, and Paul was speaking when he wrote this. He said, "Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Jesus was a servant, no doubt about it. Amen? He proved it when he came to this earth. And he proved it when he was on this earth. I remember talking to a guy one time, and I called him Servant So-and-so. And he says, "I'm not a servant." And I thought, ooh, there's a problem here. Because Jesus was a servant. And you know, he washed the feet of his disciples. He said this, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." John 13, 14 through 15. You know, God has always expected his people to be servants. Amen? Even in the Old Testament. You know, my second point is that Jesus expects us to be servants. That's an expectation of Christianity. And we try to diminish that sometimes and make it simple and say, no, you don't have to do anything. And how incorrect that is. Because Jesus expects us to be servants. Even in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, listen to what this says. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." You see, God has always expected his children to be good servants. He expects that of the leadership. He says, and I believe this, when you serve, you become a leader. I believe that. It's not the other way around. It's when you serve that you are a leader. You see, elders serve and they're called to be examples to the spiritual end of the flock. Did you know that the apostles referred to themselves as servants? I mean, look at Paul. How many times did he write, "I, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus"? And deacons are servants. I know we're looking at nominating people, and we call them offices. And oh, I just cringe sometime when I hear that, office. No, it's not just a title, an office. In fact, the Greek word for deacon means servant. It means servant. In fact, in 1 Timothy 3, 12 and 13, it says, "A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well," did you get that? "Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." Well, preachers, we're not immune to that either, you know, because we're Christians. Preachers are called to be faithful servants and to serve God and to serve one another. Tychicus and Epaphras, Paul called these preachers faithful servants in Ephesians 6, 21, Colossians 4, 12. Let me tell you something. We're not reverends. Ooh, that's another thing I cringe at when they say reverend. There's only one time reverend is used in the Bible, and that is in reference to God. We are fellow servants. Revelation 5:10 says this, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Boy, that's why we're here, people. We're here to serve God. We serve the Lord. And in serving one another, we serve the Lord. In serving one another, we serve the Lord. For we honor His commands to serve one another and to love one another. You know, when I first entered the ministry, I became shocked, appalled, that Christian people could treat other Christian people the way they do. I couldn't believe it. You see, there were people that were criticizing other people, and these people were trying to serve the Lord, and they were being criticized for everything they did. Every service they performed. And when they served on this committee or this function, they were criticized. I was shocked. I was kind of, what? You know, I expected that the world would hurt Christians. But I never expect that Christians would hurt Christians. And it happens. Sometimes we shoot our own wounded, don't we? That ought not to be. In fact, you know, I was hurt so badly, and a lot of you know this, I had left the ministry for a year and said, if this is what this is all about, I don't want it. And God said to me, Mark Allen Black. And when he used that middle name, woo, just like my mama, I said, well, what, Lord? He said, who are you serving? When you serve others, you serve me. And don't let anyone stop you. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, when a brother or sister gives their best to God, should we criticize their offering? No. That should not be. I got to thinking about this. I was thinking about Cain and Abel. Remember that story? Cain gave an offering. Was it acceptable or not? No. Abel's was. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know what? Abel never criticized Cain for his offering, did he? The Bible never states that he did. It was God who took care of it. God took care of it. And sometimes I wonder, who has appointed us to be the judge of another person's offering to God? We need to be quiet and be still and know that God is God. Well, God has given us all kinds of warnings, hasn't He, about judging? I mean, we're aware of that, and we read it, and sometimes we just kind of ignore it for a while, and then all of a sudden He hits us with a 2x4, and He says, here it is, Matthew 7:1-2, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. God's going to use the same yardstick that you're using against others, and you're going to have to measure up. Wow. You remember the story of a widow that had come to the temple, and she was poor, extremely poor. And she gave her offering. Here it is. Wait a minute. I got it over here. It was a little coin. Of all these coins that are here, it was this little one right there. That one. And you remember that she gave that one little coin, and some people ridiculed her for that offering. But you know what? She caught the eye of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He looked and He saw that woman had given her all. And this is what He said in Luke 21:4-4. He says, I tell you the truth, He said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Wow. That little coin what some people would say is insignificant. You know, we serve with all our heart, people. And we are to serve others. And we are to serve the living God. Paul made a statement in Romans 14, 4 through 5. There was a division in the church. Some people said, well, you better not eat meat because it could be offered to idols. Others said, so they became vegetarians. Others said, now, wait a minute. I think that it's okay to eat that meat. And they were judging each other and kind of getting critical of each other and barking at each other. And he said this in Romans 14, 4 through 5. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. The offering is to the Lord. And may it be pleasing in His sight. Brothers and sisters, we serve the Lord. We serve Him. He is the reason. Now, I'm going to give an illustration here, and right away everyone's going to say, well, that's because we're going to have a roof put on next week. Did you know that? Yeah, very possibly next week may be the time where we're going to start this roof. And this is not related, this illustration, to the roof, but it made me think of what happened to me in the past. And so I wanted to share it with you. I appreciate Chris Bonaduce, and Chris, I'm going to really embarrass you. Here it comes. Okay? Has said, I'll oversee that and help in any way that I can. And I say, thank you for your servant's heart. And I'm not giving this illustration because of Chris. I'm giving this illustration because it's an illustration of servanthood. You see, there was a time when the men of the church that I used to attend met on Tuesday morning for prayer. And I was talking and I said, you know, my roof is leaking. I'm going to have to get a roof put on my church or on my house. I have to re-roof my house. They got together, and they said, tell you what, all you got to do is pay for the shingles. We'll do all the labor for you. Well, I was all excited about that. Wow. And many of you know that I'm afraid of heights. I don't like to go up on a roof. And I thought, I better go up on the roof. I better see what I can do. I get up there, and I am frozen stiff. And I said, is there anything I can nail right here? Okay. And we're looking over the thing, and it was interesting because there were three men that were discussing the valley in my roof and how they were going to do it, and they had a disagreement. In fact, there were three ways that they were disagreeing. One had one, another had another, another had another. And they were discussing this, and I thought, oh, great. I thought, this is going to end up with hurt feelings, you know? That's how it's going to end up. And it was supposed to be a servant thing and serving God. And I thought, well, and then all of a sudden, two of the men turned to the third and said, well, we'll just do it the way you want it done. You tell us how to do it and we'll do it. And you know what? That service was done in the name of Jesus Christ, to His glory, to His honor. And it went well. And every time I look at that roof, I said, there are people who are serving you, God, and I thank you for that service. They serve in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have many ministries, and many ministries that serve one another. And thank God, people serve with their hearts. Oh, it may not be the way we do something, but they have given that offering to the Lord, and we need to rejoice in it. Jesus is a servant. He gave us an example, didn't He? And He expects all of us to serve. So therefore, let us serve with a joyful heart. Let us not be judgmental of one another's service. How true that is. Well, today, have you served the Lord? Have you given to God? Have you served? Have you opened your heart to Him? Said, Lord, what do you want me to do in your kingdom? We're going to offer an invitation. I'm going to ask the group come forward. And we offer this invitation. We give to the Lord our hearts. Have you begun the journey of following Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says it's so very, very simple. Peter stood up and he said, they believed. And he said, you got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to believe in Jesus. It's where it starts. And he says, then you got to repent of your sins. And the people had already repented. He said, what? They said, what must we do then? And he says, be baptized. Be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit allows us to walk with God. How beautiful that is to walk with our Lord and to serve Him. Let's stand.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.